Occasionally in life, there's sometimes you put yourself into a little bit of a bind. So throughout May, what we've been doing, we finished up our one sermon series. We'll start the next one in June. And so these have kind of been one-offs, and so we've kind of been figuring out. And so I now know that if you're looking at the screen, you're like, wow, this pastor's really going to just dive into tithing after that prayer time. That's awesome. I can't wait to see where he goes. So if you've already made a determination about where you think this message is going, I promise you, you probably haven't. So just bear with me on this one. But what I want you to do is I want you to think of someone that you rely upon. Someone that you rely upon, but then also I want you to think, why do I rely upon them? And so, guys, we've been over this. If I forget the kids, just go. You don't want to hear from me. Pray for them on the way out. That's what I've been teaching you. You know. That's... Look at that. Bring up money and the kids get out of here real fast. Nah, I'm just kidding. So I want you to think of someone that you rely upon. Hopefully they don't rely upon me because I always forget about them. But for me, I think of my wife and... But then the other two in my life would be my parents. And the reason that I rely upon my parents is that anytime I've ever needed anything in my life, they've always been there to help me. Every turn, every corner, every time I'm in need of help, they're there. Whatever facet it needs to be, they're there to help me. And I think that a lot of times that we build this reliance upon people and this trust with other people is because they've shown up for us. They're there for us. They're present. They always help us. No cost, no strings attached, nothing like that. They just want to help because of their love for us. And so as we think about those people, we're kind of be going through some of this together. And so tithing. So there isn't one specific passage. We'll be jumping through to some different places this morning. But what I want, when we think of tithing, we're thinking of we're giving back to God. And so we have to first and foremost recognize that God is the creator of all things. We see that from Genesis 1 all the way throughout the Bible, that God has created the world and he has a plan. So everything in our lives is created by God. When we think of, well, Nick, I'm pretty sure man built this stage. Well, then we have to look at, who gave man the ability to create the stage and all of these other man-made things? And so when we start to recognize as God is creator of it all, that all of the money that we have, all of the things that we get, in essence, are for God, that God has created it all. So everything is his, and we're giving back to him. What I always tell people when they ask about tithing, well, what's going to get you further? 100% of money with you or 90% of your money with 10% of God helping as well? And so when we start to do that of, well, God will take our 90% way further than we could ever take our 100%. And so when we look at tithing from that standpoint, it's us giving back to God what he has given us, what he has provided for us. So, well, then two main reasons I think that we look at it is one, I think the problem is that the churches have kind of missed the point over the years, and some of the pastors kind of about it is that they make this tithing thing because, well, the church needs money, and yes, okay, listen, our tithes are the only way that we bring in money. Okay, when we want to do ministry, when we want to do benevolence for people, when we want to do events, when we want to have the lights on, when we want to pay people for stuff, it comes only from us. We don't get money from anywhere else. But the problem is they teach that we need more and more and more, not that it's a biblical command of giving that we'll be talking about today, as well as what it does for us and how it protects us and how it furthers our walk with God. So all throughout the Bible, we see that God says that we should tithe. And so the first one that I have for us today is in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. They will all be up on the screen. I'll be flipping through them here for us. But so Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. So right off the bat in Deuteronomy, we see that he's making a declaration of give 10th of all that your fields produce that year, and then he will choose a place for the dwelling of his name, and we will learn to revere the Lord your God always. So off the bat, God is saying that tithing helps us remember to revere the name of the Lord. The next one we see is in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. And it says, "And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." And so here we see that Abram at the time has been blessed by God Most High with his enemies delivered into his hands. And in thanks, in response for God's provision, he gave a tenth of everything that he had won from that battle. From what he had collected from the enemies, he gave a tenth back to God as a thanks to God. So we're learning to revere the name. We're learning to give thanks for all that God has provided for us. We flip a few pages to Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 through 22. It says, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and the stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth.'" So here Jacob's saying that if he is kept safe, if he's given food to eat and clothes to wear, then he will give a tenth. So as long as God meets our daily provision, we're giving a tenth. Everything in excess that we're giving thanks to God for all that he's provided, we're giving thanks. And then it's helping us revere the name of the Lord and keeping him as worthy in our lives. We flip to Luke chapter 42, or chapter 42, Luke 11, verse 42. And so in Luke chapter 11, verse 42, it says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." What we're seeing here from Jesus in this woe to the Pharisees, if you remember a long time ago, we had this Give Generously sermon series. We believe wholeheartedly at the heart of who we are, at the heart of God's design for us, is to be generous people. When we look at being generous with our money, okay, we all know people in our lives who are generous with money. I don't think it's a coincidence then that they become generous with their time, with their love, with their grace, their mercy, their patience, and all of those things. I don't think it's a coincidence that there's a correlation for the people then that can be stingy with their money, can be stingy with their time and their grace and their mercy and their forgiveness. That tithing helps us create this generous heart that is for all people. We're generous to God in what we give him in our time, our money, and our abilities. And then we're also generous with how we are with other people. We then see in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. No, it's just a lot of pages to flip to, so I heard you. Yeah, you didn't think I did. Actually, that's not good. My wife doesn't think I'm good at hearing, so I should probably keep playing that to the benefit of me. Ah, oh, you're supposed to be in the nursery. "As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, and honey, and all that the fruit fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything." And so yet again, here we see from God the biblical command to give of everything that God has blessed us with, we're giving back to him. I think one of the biggest reasons why we are to tithe is going to be for this reason alone. We see in Matthew chapter 6, we have a call from God throughout the Bible to protect our heart. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it's from the section on the Sermon on the Mount with treasures in heaven. He says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." When we look at protecting our heart from this sense, we have a few more verses that we'll be talking about. But Jesus gave 39 parables throughout the Gospels. So out of 39 parables, 11 of them are addressed about money. So if Jesus is going to speak in parables, 11 out of the 39, I would say that there's a pretty good reason there's an emphasis on money. Money throughout the Bible, if you remember last week, we talked about how hate was mentioned about 60 some odd times and love was mentioned a little over 500 times. What we see is that money is actually mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. The reason for that is because God knew from the start of time that his plan for all mankind was going to be a wrestle with money. That money was going to be such an easy object that could become the center of our lives and the focus of who we are. Think about how often we get wrapped up in money, the stresses of the finances, wanting to make more money at work. We pick our jobs based off of what's going to pay us the most. Everything that we do for money and how it becomes so easily controlling our schedule. Think of how many things we miss out on work because we need the money to be able to pay the bills. Think of all those times we spend stressing about the money and the finances and all of those things instead of being present in the moments of all those other things going on in our lives. God knew from the start that money was going to be a big issue. So if I see it mentioned over 800 times in 11 of 39 parables, it can't just be something that we briefly talk about in church. It can't just be something so that way the churches have money. It's because it's going to affect us in our own daily walk and then most importantly in our reverence of God, that as we exalt the money and our stresses and our worries about money, we lower God and we place money on a higher pedestal in our lives. We see then in Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 through 18. Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18. It says, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to his forefathers as it is today." It is God who gives us the wealth, and so out of the wealth with which God gives us, we give back in full belief that he will continue to give us this wealth. In Psalm chapter 62, verse 10. Psalm 62, verse 10. This is where he's going to be talking about setting his heart. We don't set our heart on money. But so Psalm 62, verse 10 says, "Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them." And then we also see in Proverbs 16 that it says, "Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud." In the same way, in both of these things, we see that instead of taking advantage of other people to gain our wealth, it's better to be poor and oppressed. Because in our sin, when we place money on a higher pedestal, then all of a sudden we want it at all costs. No matter the effects that it has on other people, we just want more. Because let's face it, we all have goals in our lives. Okay, there's all things that we want. For example, right, they came out a long time ago. But when you get your first flat-inch screen TV, you pay a lot of money. Now all of a sudden, TVs don't even cost that much, and you can get really big ones. Then all of a sudden, when you have a 45-inch TV, well, all of a sudden, you know what? This space could probably fit a 55-inch. Well, oh, you know what? We could just hang a 65-inch on this wall right here. Why? Well, because enough is never enough for us. And listen, I'm not bashing you for your TVs. That was the first example that came to mind, okay? But so what we see is that when we have something and want something, it's never going to inevitably be enough. It's never going to fully satisfy or quench our needs for more, but God can. God's letting us know that, hey, if you're poor and oppressed, you're in a way better place than the people who are taking advantage of other people to gain their wealth. We also see then that Jesus gives us this warning in Luke chapter 18, verses 24 through 25. It says, Jesus looked at him, this is the rich ruler, and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." We see now that Jesus has made this declaration, and we see it a couple other times, that it's hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God because the rich people have a misplaced love and reverence of God. They've put him down on the pedestal and put their money, their wealth, and their possessions and everything else above it. And that everything they want to do in life drives towards that as opposed to placing God on the pedestal and all of your decisions being based then around that. And so what we see then is that God is telling us throughout his word that tithing is most important to protect our heart. to protect our heart from this greed and everything else with it, but most importantly, to keep God as the number one priority in our lives. So I'm not up here telling you to tithe so the church can make money. I'm up here telling you to tithe to protect your heart and your walk with God. If there's anything else that you take away, it's that tithing will set you free from the worries and stresses of finances in your life. That it will help you in your walk with God. I'm not up here going to tell you in any way, shape, or form that tithing will increase your finances. I'm not up here to tell you that all of a sudden you're going to receive big financial blessings in your life if you start to tithe. But what you will start to see is God provide for you in ways that don't even seem possible. That it won't even seem logical in the ways that he will provide for you as you trust him in that 10% out of the blessing of that 100% that he gave you. So what we see then is that it protects our heart, but then also the second thing that we see is that it creates a dependence upon God. In Isaiah, we're in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. It says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. And so what we see from this now is that we've been kept in perfect peace because, and our mind will be steadfast as we trust in the Lord forever. We have to have this trust upon this rock who is eternal. For all times we have this trust upon him. We also then see as we flip ahead over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So we see then that God's desire is to provide for all his people. He doesn't have this picture that all of these people are going to walk around suffering and struggling, but that he will take care of all people. We see in John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. When we see then that as we make God the priority, the Spirit gives life, and then when we make money a priority, the flesh counts for nothing. And so in our walk with God, it's most important that we protect our heart and then we create a dependence upon him. Because what happens is over time, over the years, what we've done is that sin has separated us from God. You've already got your prayer, Malachi. You ain't getting two. This is the type of greed they talk about in the Bible. Sorry, I even heard my wife laugh out loud at that one. That's when you know it's good. Okay? Not money. It's making my wife laugh. Okay? That's the one I have to rest. No, I'm just kidding. But so sin separates us from God. And so at all times in our lives, we've sinned and we've separated ourselves from God. And so what we always forget is that we are in need of God to bridge that gap. That there's nothing that we can do to remove the sin from our lives and to enter into God's presence except through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So think of all of the sinning that money brings in our lives. Ironically enough, the first one I've written down is greed. So greed, we covet. We become jealous of what other people have. We steal things because we don't want to pay for it, or we think that someone else has something nicer and we can just take it. You watch people murder for money. People owe them money. They want to get the life insurance policy. Think of all of these things that we start to do when we place our heart and our minds on money. It makes us do all of these different things. And so what tithing does is it releases our heart's desire for money and it starts to fill it with the desire for God. Tithing starts to release us from the desire for money, and it starts to fill us with the desire for God. Because as sin separates us, but God's grace and mercy brings us back, we need that way more than any amount of financial blessing in our lives. Ironically enough, my daily reading this morning. So if you remember, we've been doing these names and attributes of God since November, and the first one that we did was Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And so ironically enough, my daily reading this morning was in Genesis 22. And Genesis 22 is actually where the name Jehovah Jireh comes from. Abram has been waiting 100 years for a son. He's been waiting 100 years for God's blessing to prevail in his life. And God says, go sacrifice your son and I will provide for you. So they're walking up the mountain. Isaac, his son, goes, "Dad, where's the ram?" He goes, "Don't worry about it, son. Just come with me." Okay, he ties him up. He places his son on the altar. He's ready to bring him down and to kill him on the altar for God, because that's what God has told him to do. And then the angel of the Lord cries out, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. The ram's over there in the thicket." In the same way, I want us to start to picture ourselves. And so then Abram names that place Jehovah Jireh, that the Lord will provide. Why? Because the blessing he had waited his entire life for, he was ready to give up because God told him to. And because of that, if he didn't do that, if he said, "No, I'm going to keep my son because I've waited for this," he would have lost the promise and the covenant of the 1,000-generation blessings, that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars and the grains of sand. He would have lost it all. But his priority was God over all the things that he wanted in his life. So for us, what we start to see is that Jehovah Jireh, God provides. He provides financially. He provides in all of the other ways. Those people that we trust in our lives, it's because they've shown up time and time again. But Jehovah Jireh wants to do that for you. Tithing is a way to begin to create a reliance and a dependence on God. I'm not up here. I could have Sarah come up here and start to preach this point. Stresses, I'll be honest with you, will always be one, finances will always be one of the biggest stresses in my life. I know there's no way that I'm the only one in here this morning that carries the worries of stresses, of finances and things like that in your life. So what I wanted to do for you today is I wanted to make tithing about creating a dependence upon God. And so I wanted to give you some of the ways that I create this reliance and this dependence upon God. Because it protects our heart. It protects, most importantly, it reminds us how much we need God. What we see is that the Bible does tell us in the Old Testament about giving 10% of all that you have, but we also see that there's to be joyous giving. Okay, so what I want for us today is picking what fits you, what fits your budget, what makes it possible for you to be able to do it. I remember as we just had some other, you know how life is. All of a sudden, you start to get a little bit more saved up. You get comfortable, and all of a sudden, something goes wrong, and there it all goes. And so I remember just talking to Sarah, like, "Hey, like, money's getting a little tight. Like, we can always, scale it down a little bit to fit more of what we need to do to be able to take care of all of those things." And I just remember all she said to me. She said, "That's not what God wants." That's all she said to me. And right back then, I just snapped right back into place. Of all of a sudden, "Wait a minute, no, you're right. God's got this." And so it's those people in your life who you have this trust and this reliance upon, who want to see the best for you, that at all times they want you to be able to glorify God. So what we start to do then, as I start to get worried about these stresses, finances, all of those things, I have three different prayers that I do. I'll be driving, I'll be worrying about it. Laying in bed, I just simply start to repeat to myself, "God, you've done it before, you'll do it again. God, you've done it before, you'll do it again. God, you were Jehovah Jireh then, you'll be Jehovah Jireh now. Jehovah Jireh, I need you." Guys, I'm telling you, God provides in ways that don't even make sense. God does it time and time again. His desire is to bless his people. His desire is to show up and be known by you. Protected hearts are the hearts that will encounter God. Hearts that are dependent upon God will be the ones that have the easiest access to God. You see, my stress is about finances and all of these worries. What I've done is I've taken our disciplines. I've taken the prayer. I've taken the fasting, the meditation, the scripture, the praying, the service, the giving, all of these. I've tied them into my life. And you know what I've seen in my life? I've watched that translate into the other stresses of my life. The other things that I worry about in my life, I've taken those same applications of, well, here's how I get through the stresses about finances. Well, all of a sudden, here's how I'm going to get through this. Here's how God's going to provide for my life in this way. And as I start to do that, as I start to just simply begin to pray, "God, you've done it before, you'll do it again. God, you've done it before, you'll do it again." And so what we do is that through this tithing, I'm always constantly reminded that as I'm giving back to God, he provides for his people, he provides for his children. That in the midst of everything, I have this trust and this dependence upon God through all of the stresses in my life now. I've watched him move throughout some of the bigger stresses in my life, that now even in the midst of the small stresses, my first immediate thought is, no, I need to go back to God. I need to go be quiet in his presence. I need to go pray. What scripture will remind me that I don't need to worry about this, that God's got this. Guys, we have to build up hearts that are protected, people who have a dependency for God in the midst of all these things. So when we look at it of why we tithe then, it's because we want to trust God and we want to protect our hearts. So how you get started, well, I want you to pray and figure out what you can give. If you need to start with $1, that is awesome. Just start. God will start to show himself in different ways in your life. Not all the blessings will be financial. You'll start to see some other things in your life start to fall into place. He'll provide in other areas. But I want you to picture yourself walking up the mountain. You, your family, and all that you have. What is God telling you to place on that altar that you may receive the blessings of 1,000 generations? That your kids, your grandkids, and your kids after them will know what it means to be a generous person to God and to all people. For us, the closing book in the Old Testament is Malachi. There's 4 chapters in it. This is the 3rd chapter. It starts off in verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. He was Jehovah Jireh then. He's Jehovah Jireh now. And he will be Jehovah Jireh. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This says, descendants of Jacob, if you aren't familiar, we read about Abram who sacrificed Isaac. Jacob is Isaac's son. If Abraham hadn't done that, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're all descendants from those lines. If their faithfulness had not come to fruition, we wouldn't even have this passage. But so what we see is that, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will have enough room for it. If you don't know, a little history about our church to show that it was Jehovah Jireh then, it's Jehovah Jireh now, and it will always be Jehovah Jireh. We had to become a church that returned to God based off of the places that the church has started to go. So I came in 2021, God's blessing and protection throughout it all was that there was a building. Well over $16,000 a month just for mortgage for a church of about 30 to 40 people. Then all of a sudden, the church that was here said, we want to buy that building, and as a part of this deal, we'll give you this building. So God provided a church swap for us to get us to a place that is a lot less than $16,000 a month, I'll tell you that. Also fits us better for our size, gives us a new location, new name, new start with a new pastor and all of that. Since that time, we've gotten a call from the denomination saying that they had sold land 10 years ago, and there was a deal, because it wasn't with a church, with a denomination, that any profit they made, they had to give half to if they sold it within 10 years, and their lawyer caught that it was 9.5 years, and the profit was $200,000, so the denomination got $100,000. You know what they said? They said, we're giving you $100,000 so you can redo your whole parking lot. So we got our whole new parking lot done. All of a sudden, here we are with a quote for $110,000 for a new roof. Well, what come to find out? Insurance covered it all. We didn't have to pay a dime for a new roof. We have covered so many other things. We've brought in a new HVAC unit, all of these different things. But here's where it's most impressive. 2024, we finished $8,000 behind that year. 2025, we finished $7,000 ahead. We keep track of things like, so through March, we keep track of giving. So from 2024 to 2025, those first 3 months of 2024 to the first 3 months of 2025, there was a $3,000 increase in giving from all of us. But yet we were still $4,000 behind on our payments because there's the new annual fees that you have to pay for all of your programs, softwares, all of that. We had to pay snow plowing for 3 months at the beginning of the year. We always start off a little bit behind. Through March of 2025 and 2026, our giving is $17,000 ahead of where it was last year, and we're actually $1,800 ahead of our expenses through March. So yes, we are going to clap now for that. Make no mistake of this. I will tell you the difference between 2024, 2025, and 2026. In 2024, we did our How to Worship a King sermon series, where we instituted the tabernacle and all the aspects of how God has told us where he will meet his people. What we see through this discipleship sermon series then with which we did in 2024, we did it again in 2026. And then in 2025, we did our Growing with God sermon series where we went through all of these different disciplines of spiritual disciplines of growing with God. We did our Revival Starts Here and fasting. So make no mistake, we are a church who is in the midst of returning to God through all of our disciplines, through our emphasis on the tabernacle worship, and through the emphasis of discipleship, that you will be with Jesus to learn from Jesus how to be like Jesus and to teach others to do the same. It's no coincidence that as we've made the foundation and the focus of our church of building a relationship with God, that we're starting to see that he is opening the floodgates of heaven and pouring out the blessings, that we're not going to have enough room for it. The reason I tell you this is because what this tells me is that God is up to something at North Star Church. We're seeing it as our Wednesdays grow, our emotionally healthy relationships and spirituality grow. As people are growing in their own personal walk with God, we're starting to watch our church grow. God is giving us the financial blessings and means from all of us doing this together because he has something big in store. So you have to ask the question, do you want to be a part of it? I'm not saying you have to tithe to be a part of it. What I am saying is if you want to be a part of it, it starts at home. It starts at home. That you will become a family, whatever your family looks like, whatever your family looks like, that you will be a family who wants to protect your hearts and devote yourselves to God. That you want to become a family that is a disciple of Jesus. You are with him to learn from him how to be like him and to teach others to do the same. So you have a decision to make. North Star Church is fully surrounded by a God who is on the move. We are seeing his blessings in all different aspects of our church. So for you to be a part of it means that you started at home by protecting your heart, by giving what you can give to protect your heart and become a family that is devoted to God. So if you have more questions about tithing or anything like that, make sure that you ask. Here is how I wanted to close service for us today. I don't want you to take my word for it. I would prefer that you go home and dive into the Bible and find what you feel convicted to give. But what I do want to do is I want to open it up. Now, I have a philosophy that I don't want to know who gives. I don't know who gives. So you will be giving it a little bit away if you come up and share. But what I'm looking for are three things. If you fall under one of these three categories, what starting tithing was like for you? Why were you against it and what made you start? So as you started tithing, you were against it, what made you start? Two, you can share a story under how have you seen God's blessing since you've tithed? Or three, what was tithing like for you through tough financial times? So we're going to take 30 to 60 seconds of silence. Say, Lord, do I have something to share? And if you fall under the category of what was tithing like to start? Why were you against it? What made you start? How have you seen God's blessing since you tithed? And what was it like tithing through tough financial times? So we'll take 30 to 60 seconds of silence. I'll close us in prayer. And then I'll invite those up to share who have something for us this morning. Lord, you know who is to speak, Lord. So may you receive all the praises, the worthy, the honor from these stories, Lord, as we give back to you and what you have blessed us with. So we pray these things in your name. Amen. So if you feel like you have a story that falls under those three categories, you can...
Okay, hi, my name's Sherry. So we've always given, my husband and I. And 4 years ago, we got a phone call that we were taking in our three-year-old grandson. We were both working full-time, so I looked into daycare, and it was gonna run just under $1,000 a month. You guys have an extra $1,000 in your budget a month? I didn't. I was like, I don't know what we're gonna do. So I thought, okay, maybe we should cut giving to the church. I can cut here, I can cut there. But you know what? We were like, okay, we've always given. We're not gonna change that. We're gonna have to figure out what we're doing. So here we are, 4 years later. Liam had daycare every month. As you see, I've eaten well. We still have a house over our heads. And God has blessed us to the point that I'm now a stay-at-home mom, that he has provided us so richly that Liam doesn't get daycare, that I could quit my job and stay home. And even when we got Liam, we started giving even more because God just kept blessing us through that. So here we are, 4 years into raising a seven-year-old, $1,000 a month for daycare. I didn't know where it was coming from. It wasn't in my budget. We've started giving more. We gave to the Capital Campaign out of faith. And through that, God said, you don't need to work. You can be home with that little guy. So I just praise God, and I can say that originally we didn't want to, you know, give 10%. That's so much of my budget. But God has just continued to bless us, and so we just keep going because he's got it all under control.
Hi, I'm Amy. So when we first got married, we were going to a church in Painesville and wanted to give something, but we were kind of stupid. When we moved up here, we had nothing. You know, our bed was like a little eggshell mattress and everything. We ended up getting in a lot of credit card debt, and I actually raised my boys and kids. You listen to this. They are going to come after you at college like vultures. Ignore every single one of them until you're a junior or a senior and you know how to handle your finances, okay? Because they don't care about you. Anyway, so we were in a lot of credit card debt, and we didn't want to do, like, bankruptcy or anything, so we went to a consumer credit counseling service, and they set us up on payment, but you have to give all of your credit cards away, except Howard needed his for business, because at the time, business didn't give you a credit card. You had to use your own, get reimbursed. And all we could give was $50 a month. And I knew it was 10%. I grew up learning about that your tithe is 10%. And I went to the treasurer at the time and apologized. His name is Jimmy. And I said, we're on a strict budget and this is all we could do. They made the budget for us and this is all we could do. And he said, you didn't have to tell me that. He goes, I'm not judging anybody. That's between you and God. And was such a relief. But over the years, we increased and just increased. And then we were tithing off of, I don't know, it's weird to share that, but of our before taxes and everything. And then it became a heart issue to work towards the gross amount. But I will tell you, I started at $50. And if you really want to go back before that, it was a quarter in Sunday school when I was little. So I want to tell you, I'm one of the counters here, the chief counter, and I will never, ever judge anyone. When I had someone put a dollar in and say, I'm sorry, this is all I have. But to me, that dollar is precious, like the widow who gave the last of everything that she had. And that's how I see when anyone gives the money. And Brian watches me when I get worried, knowing what the the bills are here, and I always say, oh, you have little faith to me. I need to bring my loaves and fishes in, but God has provided so greatly. I've seen that in my life. I've seen it through you with this church. And so if you have any questions about consumer credit counseling, about credit card decking in and out of all of that, about you just want to talk to somebody because you want to give, but you don't know what to do and you're feeling like it's not enough, you can talk to me about any of that. I'll tell you, it is enough and you are enough, even if it's a quarter in Sunday school.
Any other stories fall under those categories of giving through tough times, how you've seen God's blessing?
Try to hobble faster. Hobble.
Okay, he doesn't know I'm going to do this. Hey, Ben. Come here. So the wife and I struggled, the wife, she's here, Sarah, and I struggled for years and years and years and years with infertility. We were at a time in our marriage where things were tight. It was like, I know we're supposed to do this, but where's the money going to come from? So like, every dollar that we give away is a dollar that doesn't go to paying bills. Let's look at it realistically, the dollar that didn't go to eating out. but we also had other bills. Like Amy, we were in quite a bit of credit card debt. And then, one night, God kind of said to me, do you really think you are the one exception to the rule, that you are the one person in the human race that I'm not going to bless for doing this? He's like, I don't need your money. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. This is about you putting your trust in me. Because I will do what I will do, whether you give me $1 million or you give me 2 cents. He's like, this is a trust thing. This is, do you trust me to do what I said I will do? Do you trust me to take care of you? And so we started tithing. And the month after we started, out of the blue, we find out we're pregnant with a wonderful little boy. And we had tried and tried and it wasn't working and we wasn't working. Then we started and here comes Ben. And I give God glory for that. Most days. Every day. Yes, every day. Definitely every day.
I don't want you to just take my word for it. I don't want you to just take their word for it. I want you to go home, look at what tithing is, look at what it means, start to see how it'll set you free. And so it was around November. I was in the middle of my day of fasting, and I remember getting the email from the place that we were staying at that was like, hey, we're going to be doing some other things with this, so you're going to be out in about 6 months or so. And I was just like, oh, well, good thing it's my day of fasting and stuff like that. And then I remember coming into work the next day shortly after, and Pastor Amy walked into my office. She goes, here you go. She goes, I printed off this report for you so you know what kind of raise you can ask the elders for. And the raise ended up covering pretty much for the most part with the difference in rent from where we were to where we had to go now. And so that was just one of the ways that we've seen God just continue to bless us in our lives and things like that. And so God wants to bless you. God wants to provide for you. But most importantly, he wants you to protect your heart and remain devoted to him. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that we got to encounter you this morning as our rock, our refuge, and our stronghold. the Lord who is worthy of all praise, who is worthy of this honor. Lord, we exalt you, we revere you. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us as a church. May we continue to walk with you. Lord, may we continue to build this foundation upon disciples who are with you to learn from you how to be like you and to teach others to do the same. So we thank you, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.